Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, from what I know, I mean, we're going to go into this in a second. We will. But our bar, the DNVR bar, crazy, doesn't have pizza on the menu, but that's what we have Bojo's for, the best Colorado mountain pie in Colorado. Cheeseless pizzas there. You got the honey cheese bread if you mentioned DNVR. There's just so much to enjoy at Bojo's that, you know, we might not have that pizza at the DNVR bar, but you can always go to Bojo's for that.
And honey cheese bread. We don't have that either.
We don't have honey spoons. Are you upset? Is that an issue?
No, I'll just go to Bojo's and honey spoon it up there.
Yeah, we shouldn't even try to recreate the honey cheese bread. Like,
I think it's impossible.
Just let it stay at Bojo's.
Yeah, it's real good.
The sequel's never as good.
Yeah.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it from long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story.
Touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders.
Got it. Oh, man. That's from way downtown. And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center.
Score! It's too good to be true.
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. Breckenridge has a new beer called the Encore. And the cool part about this is the fact that it's an end of the night beer. They are offering a Lyft coupon at the end right there to get 50% off your ride. There are some limitations and stuff like that, but that's an awesome deal. You get a deal for your Lyft, and you get a good Breckenridge Brewery beer.
Are Can we go to Rudo for a quick review?
Yeah, Rudo, you tried it.
Rudo.
It's pretty good. The tall boy gives you the double to finish off the night, which I like a lot. Kale described it as a perfect citrusy summer beer. He's, I think, more of an expert than I am. I just do the drinking, most of the tasting. But yeah, it's a very nice light ale. Very enjoyable for an easy, smooth drink.
Nice. I just read the fine print, and like you can even tell just by looking at it, it's not that fine of print, which means it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's legit.
Yeah.
You can get 50% off a Lyft ride every time you drink one of these.
It's pretty awesome.
Let's cap.
That's outstanding.
I'm going to give an Rudy, on
you're lifting back home, right?
I guess. I don't have an excuse anymore.
That's right.
I mean, pretty soon we'll all just be living at the bar, be an issue. But so
what kind of notes are you getting there?
You're bringing your sleep.
Don't do this to me.
Sleeping gear.
Oh, yeah.
The citrus. Kale, tell me what to say. I'm not a connoisseur. Nice citrus profile, a little bit of a hop profile, but not overwhelming like an IPA. You know?
Seems like the perfect beer to drink at work at noon when you haven't had lunch yet.
Oh, yeah, yep. That's definitely true. Maybe we do need the Lyft code ourselves.
I love all Breck brews, but it's a little rough when you're drinking a vanilla porter junior at 10 in the morning. I'll just put it that way.
The milkshake
yeah,
of beer.
Most people
can be
don't
a bit
do
heavy,
that,
yeah.
Rudo. That
it's
is
a little
a
rough
thing.
In more ways yeah. than one.
Rudo's in it for the love of the game, though. So
it's all about the brand. I respect it.
Well, our grand opening to the DNVR bar on Friday is on Friday at 5:30 p.m. And Breck will be there with brand ambassadors for you guys to try the Encore beer, I think a few other beers. And we are going to be doing a bunch of giveaways with them. So it's going to be a great night besides just being at our new bar.
Yeah. I hope the bar is stocked with Breck brew. Well, I know it is, but
it will be.
We might need a personal couple kegs off to the side of Strawberry Sky.
Ryan's
wow.
like,
on
oh
what
yeah.
at Blake Street Tavern wow. at the last Nuggets watch party.
Yeah, we'll have like a our own little area up on the perch. Not the perch at Pepsi Center, yeah. but our mezzanine level, which doesn't sound as cool as the perch. we'll
did
just
you
have
name
like
it
kegs.
As the perch?
We'll just hang out up there. Yeah. We'll like rope it
probably
off with
not.
Velvet rope.
Probably not, but.
This is classic.
You can
like,
keep
give
dreaming.
An inch and take an arm
yeah,
or whatever.
That's that not.
Being at a bar isn't enough. They need their own private.
Yeah,
you
know.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
like I said, Breck is going to be there. Breck Ambassador, 6 to 8 o'clock, giving samples. And they'll have table games like the game that the little Papa Shot that we played the other day.
Oh, hell
Harrison,
yeah.
where you did beat me. 4 out of...
Three out of four.
Yeah. yeah. You know, I've practiced. And they're going to have air hockey. Right up your alley. It's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely come by. It's on Colfax and York on the corner of that. And do you guys want to talk about the bar? Are you excited? Your thoughts?
Not excited. No thoughts. Just kidding. No, this is to me, it's the coolest thing we've ever done. And Friday, I have like a lot of nervous energy about it because I think it's just going to be insane.
Yeah.
In a good way. And
sorry, someone said no audio again, but I hear audio.
Unmute your audio, listener.
McCarr, Avs, Colorado. I think you just got to unmute it. Oh, but he can't hear us. Never mind. It feels like a Monday morning.
But anyways, yeah, it's going to be incredible. So excited to see everyone. And you know, I've talked a lot about this already on the DNVR Broncos podcast. We did a whole podcast on this feed, on the Denver Sports podcast feed, just about, you know, what this bar is all about. But I think to me the most important thing is a bar that's actually truly for Denver sports fans.
Yep.
And there's a lot of great places to go around town and watch a game. You know, I wouldn't act like there wasn't. But there isn't a place truly where you can know, like, if I show up and the Nuggets are playing at 7 p.m., the game will be on the TVs and the sound will be on mm-hmm. in the restaurant. There's no place like that
and
exists.
And people will be paying attention to
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Someone tweeted us yesterday and was like, man, I'm so excited to go to a bar and not be the only person that's interested in the Nuggets game.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're going to be surrounded by people like you. And what I said on that podcast is like, we are those people. We're the ones who go to the bar down the street and say, like, oh, man, the game sound isn't on. Or, oh, I got to go ask the waitress if she can turn the game on for me. Like, that was us. That's why this bar is going to be the opposite of that for us.
Yeah, and I mean, our watch parties already create such a great environment. So we've had so many people meet new friends that they, like, watch the Nuggets with or the Avs, and this is just going to be perfect. And I had someone tweet at me being like, oh, man, I wish you guys were doing this at the end of March when I'm in town. And I'm like, that's the best part of this bar. It's not a watch party.
A
we will
bar.
Always
right.
be there.
Yeah.
So you can come at the end of March, and we'll be there hanging out. Our offices are going to be there. So we're going to be recording podcasts just like this one right down in the bar or upstairs in the studios, and you guys are going to be able to come talk to us, chat with us, give us your input, and all of this stuff. It's going to be so much fun.
It feels like we finally have a home stadium
yeah.
to go to now. We can play our home games at the bar, basically.
Damn, I love that.
Nice.
I also just want to let everyone know there's a rule that if Rudo has a drink and everyone starts chanting, Rudo, he has to chug it.
I was not aware of this rule.
I just came up with it.
Those are house rules.
I'm going to need some more prayers for my liver after that.
Oh, God, literally. You have to do the Rudoing? Is that what people are calling it?
Oh, yeah. Then you have to finish your beer.
On my knees.
Rudoing. Oh, it's going to be a fun time. Andre, you've been quiet. You're new. You're always here, but you're normally off screen. But you're on screen.
Except for
so
one
welcome.
Exception, and I won the week.
That's. Oh.
One for one.
Okay.
Let's not forget my record here. But no, as always with DNVR, what we're doing is the fans matter most, and it's empowering the fans and giving them more of a community and a place to hang out, and that's what I'm really proud of.
Definitely ask us questions on the Periscope about the bar if you have any. Someone just asked, bar going to have food? Yes, we are going to have a lot of food.
And the food's really good,
it
too.
Yeah, really it is good. So good. They did a podcast.
I was
going
to say, like, I feel like I'm the person that's like, here's a link to the FAQs.
Yeah.
We already did a podcast where we answered tons of questions. So if you just want to hear a whole podcast of us answering questions and talking about that, it's right in the Denver Sports Podcast feed. It's called Everything You Need to Know About the DNVR Bar. So,
But we will have food.
Recommended listen.
Not only will you have food, members get a discount on food and other things. So.
Yeah. We'll have our merch shop there. You'll be able to buy shirts, feel the shirts. If you don't believe us that they're the softest, you'll be able to feel it with your own hands. It's going to be a great time. Someone asked, Harrison, have you by chance watched the video on MPJ's dietitian?
No. I missed that one.
Rudo, please tell us McKinnon won't be out for long. Okay, well, let's move on to the sports part of this podcast.
Oh, no, he did send it to me. Is that, who was that?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
He did send it to me. I have not watched it yet, but I will watch it. I'll let you know.
Okay.
He didn't want to pronounce it either. Yeah. Well, let's start off with the positives. Avs fans, hold on to.
Yeah.
We'll move on to that. Let's start off with the positives since we did have a doubleheader last night. The Nuggets and the Avs played.
Yeah.
Nuggets got a big win over the Milwaukee Bucks. It was an injured Milwaukee Bucks, but still, Jamal Murray was on fire and had probably one of the craziest dunks I have ever seen in person. And they didn't even count it.
Maybe the dunk of the season, that wasn't. Like, man, that was crazy.
I mean, he destroyed him.
Yeah, an absolute one-handed sledgehammer over DJ Wilson that didn't count. I got a couple problems with this dunk not counting. First of all, the official that called the offensive foul was standing outside of the three-point line behind the play. The two closest officials did not even call the offensive foul. That's number one. Number two, this offensive foul happens on a ton of dunks, and Blake Griffin should have every dunk he's ever done invalidated if this is an offensive foul. He uses his off arm to clear out on literally every dunk of his entire career.
People thought it was going to be an and one.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be an offensive foul.
What was crazy about being in the stadium is it was so loud that I didn't know until like a minute and a half later that they called an offensive foul. Why are they have a side out? What is happening
there was
right now?
Mass confusion. It looked like on the court, on the Nuggets bench, Mike Malone was running around. I don't know why he didn't challenge the call. He probably should have. I don't know if it would have been overturned, but he should have just challenged it so we could have watched the replay 10 more times.
And just like on principle.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to challenge that. Just for the off chance that they overturn it. And maybe they just like watch it and they're like, we need to overturn this for the good of the league.
Well, it's funny. He challenged one a couple weeks ago because usually a play happens. He looks back at his assistants who are live streaming the game on an iPad on the bench to see if he should challenge. He challenged one a couple weeks ago that he just like no look challenge. He walked out onto the court, called a timeout, and just challenged it without even conferring with his bench. And it was almost like he wanted to make the officials go back and look at how bad of a call it was for a minute, you know? Uh-huh. Like, go look at how bad of a call that was that you just made.
I mean, we had a few Bucks fans around us, and some were
obnoxious.
Then others in front of us, I don't know if you saw, they stood up. They were like, oh my God, what just happened?
Actually, there were a couple Bucks fans behind us who were really annoying, and then there's a couple who are actually pretty chill, and like, after the dunk, I turned around and I was just like, had my head on my hand, and he just gave me a fist bump. He's like, that was dope.
Ryan turned around and goes, you guys gotta leave now. I think you legally have to get up and leave. And I'm like, Ryan,
I wasn't gonna tell that part.
I mean, in and one street ball rules, that's what happened. You shut down the court when dunks
ends.
Like that go
the
down.
The crowd rushes the floor, the game ends.
It was literally not even like a second after it happened. It happened, everyone stood up, and Ryan just immediately turns around. You guys got to go. I'm just like, oh.
He was like super cool. He's like, all right,
It did kind of change the game, though.
It did.
You know, it changed the momentum. Jamal Murray really got hot.
after that too. Mm-hmm. Like that was at the very end of the third quarter. You had a big fourth quarter, so felt like it totally swung the momentum.
He went on a run of his own.
Thankfully, he got another body later with that crossover.
Yes.
Three.
Yes.
I thought he was going to take out the whole team by the end of the
game. Yeah, he was pissed that dunk didn't count. But, yeah, that totally changed things. And an important win because, I mean, if the Nuggets had dropped that one, they would have fallen to the – I'll call it the C-Team Bucks, the G-League Warriors, and the Cavs in a week.
I almost was going to change the B in Bucks to C, and then I said it in my
head.
Oh,
God, Ryan.
I was like, oh, that's not a good one.
Definitely not a good one. You would have been asked to leave as you asked those people to leave. But, yeah, I mean, people have definitely been a bit panicky after losing the game to the Warriors, then the Cavs. I feel like the fan base also needed this win to kind of calm down a bit.
Definitely, definitely. And I said this on last week's Denver Sports podcast. If you're just going to take a month off from the NBA and not watch, don't watch in March because there's a lot of data out there that actually says what you do in March has very little relation or correlation to how good of a team you've been throughout the regular season and how good of a team you'll be in the playoffs. So March, it's the March malaise, as I call it. It happens around the league. The Rockets have lost four straight. The Jazz are 5-5 in their last 10.
Milwaukee had lost three of the last
Milwaukee's
four before the game.
Banged up right now. They're not playing as well as they were over the first half of the season. But it was an important win, and it is important to keep piling up wins because the Nuggets are jockeying for seeding right now in the West, and the West is super jumbled, and Nuggets have to hold on to a top four seed. They just have to. They need home court advantage in the first round.
And they have a tough stretch coming up with the Mavs, the Spurs, and the Lakers all on the road. What are you expecting to see from that?
I mean, they've been kind of two different teams on the road this year. They've had some great wins and some really bad losses. But, you know, nothing would really surprise me with this team. To be quite honest,
they do seem to step up to their competition.
They do play up to their competition. And I would not be surprised if they won two out of three. I wonder how the Lakers are going to approach this game with the Nuggets because, of course, the Lakers have gotten up for a couple of their matchups with Denver this year. They got up for that game against the Clippers. Who knows how they'll look at this one with Denver? I don't know. I'll be interested to see.
Yeah, Lakers don't seem like they got the memo about March just yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully
LeBron James
that
hasn't
comes
gotten
in their
that
inbox
memo.
Soon
right.
enough. Yeah.
Right. Well, the Nuggets are trying to treat this, and Michael Malone said this at the very beginning of the season, we're going to treat this like a 110-game regular season. LeBron is treating this like an 82-game season.
I thought he was treating it like a 110-game playoff.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. Or that. You know, he's like going out and competing night to night like anybody else in the league is. It's crazy.
The only hope from like a Nuggets perspective is that LeBron is wearing himself out and that by the time the playoffs comes around, his 30-whatever-year-old body isn't going to be able to keep going at that rate.
You know,
I don't know.
I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't say that's going to happen, but I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, we've seen guys like James Harden wear out over the course of a regular season who definitely carried a bigger load in the past than LeBron is. But, I mean, Harden's much younger than LeBron, so we'll see.
What have you thought of Jokic's play of late? I mean, against the Bucks in that fourth quarter, he had 2 points. I mean, he was shooting and just wasn't going in, but he did seem disinterested. I feel like we do get that Jokic still a good amount.
Yeah, he did look disinterested, didn't have a good game. I'm not the least bit worried, though. I'm not. People are trying to say he's in a slump. I don't think he's in a slump. I think he could take himself out of it and, you know, be the dominant Jokic if he really wanted to right now. I wonder if Jokic is playing 4D chess and just kind of, you know, prepping for the playoffs a little, not trying to burn himself out, and just make sure he's at 100% when it really counts. I am not worried at all about Jokic.
Did he get some tips during All-Star Week about resting up and taking it easy a little bit?
Maybe.
He likes those guys. He likes hanging out with them.
It's interesting because there's a part of me that wants to be like, okay, if he wants to like rest his body, just like give him a week off. But then you watch in that fourth quarter, like he comes back in, and instantly he gets a paint touch, and instantly they get a wide open shot off of it. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, you definitely, even if he doesn't want to create to shoot himself, like just give him the ball in the paint and let him, you know, facilitate the entire offense.
It's funny last week on this podcast, we talked about some of the little songs and chants and things that happen at stadiums. And I was smiling so hard when Gary hit a three and everyone's like, Gary Harris. And I just like looked at him.
I actually looked down at the bench. I just wanted to see if they were clapping.
Yeah, they definitely were. They definitely were. But how about Gary Harris?
Is he back? In your half court heave. What is it?
Half court heave.
Half court
weave. It's like the three man weave.
Okay.
Yeah, I called it. I said 50% from three last week, which in retrospect, he had actually been shooting above 50% since after the All-Star break. So maybe it wasn't.
He's been above 40 since February 1st, above 40% from three.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a turnaround.
But he's still at like 33 for the year.
Yeah.
So. It just changes everything when he starts making that corner three. The defense has to go close out. He can pump fake, go by, hit Jokic in the paint. Like, it just – and it alters the entire offense.
Well, not playing 4-on-5 on offense is going to help. I mean, we were at that point with Gary for a minute. Yeah.
And you put out Torrey, and now it's 3-on-5. Yeah,
right.
I think I have to be the bringer of sadness on this pod, unfortunately. But – are there any concerns going into L.A. playing in California on the hockey side? They've already shut down the next 2 weeks of play in San Jose at their stadium. So,
So is hockey just canceling games, or are they playing it with no fans?
They're canceled. The San Jose canceled games at their stadium specifically.
Wow.
So are they going to go play them somewhere else? How are they going to deal
Unclear
with this?
Unclear at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think talking about this coronavirus, and I listening to the radio yesterday, it's like it's all that people are saying, and I feel like it's causing so much panic because it's literally the only thing that's being talked about. But in the way that it's going to affect sports, I do think it's a conversation we should totally have. You tweeted out this morning that you think you might have seen your last game at the Pepsi Center for a while because of what's going on and the measures people are beginning to take.
Yeah, that's just the feeling I got last night. And today, all leagues started
media is
banning,
limited, yeah,
quote unquote, non-essential personnel from the locker room, which
I think you're essential.
Pretty much media.
Yes, exactly.
If we're being honest. And I just get the feeling that that's the first of, you know, a couple step process of what we're going to have to do because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
And not having fans at games seems like the next step to me. I just feel like it's inevitable.
And
to be honest, it's either that or postpone the season. And
yeah,
that just seems like a much more likely course of action than, you know, postponing for a couple months to me.
We thought about it when we were at the game yesterday, and there was a great amount, like a great crowd. So hearing that it is going to take this step, it just came up on Twitter that they canceled the Denver St. Patrick's Day parade. There's just so many measures that are being put in place, and LeBron James said like he wouldn't want to play if there are no fans in the stadium.
That was so weird.
I feel like he said that not really knowing that that was going to be a possibility or something that was talked about.
Yeah. I'm like, cool, let the please don't play.
he'll be playing.
Yeah, let the Nuggets go and get the one
he'll
seed
be playing.
They don't have LeBron.
Have you guys seen any sporting events without crowds that have been played in the last couple weeks in Europe?
It's been going on with Italy.
Yeah.
Italy, definitely.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird. it's going to be bizarre. But, yeah, I felt like last night might have been the last Nuggets game I'll attend this year.
It's crazy. I mean, MLB is also taking those steps. Drew's in spring training right now in Arizona. He's having to deal with it. And I've seen some media members talk about how the way that like canceling scrums and just having the players aren't going to want to go back to the old way once they see this new way of the way that they interact with the media.
But the players don't like it in the first place. Like,
exactly. So then not having
they have
it
to do it. So then I believe that the people that run PR and deal with the media will just say like, you don't want to go back? Too bad. That's the way it's going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be like the key for the people in PR to, you know, hold up their end of the bargain. Yeah. And I think they will, of course.
Right. And like, obviously, I do believe it's essential for us to be in the locker room. And I think we learn a lot there, but not right now. You know, like in a temporary environment, I think it's understandable to try and limit outside, you know, access to the players. with that said, the players also have to, you know, be smart on their own end. Not, you know, because it's not like they're at the facility all day. Like, it, just taking the media out of the locker room isn't going to protect all the athletes from not getting it.
I think it's understandable. It's probably the right move, but it seems like a half measure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what's protecting against a fan that's sitting 2 feet from a player on the bench on a courtside seat, you know? Right. From like slapping five, or you know, that happens all the time.
Or
we're not slapping five with the players,
right? Or you know, players going out to a strip club, like those are things that happen, like, you know. So it is, I understand it, but you know, people have talked about it, and I don't think this is, if they wanted to make this change, you know, a lot of media members have been talking about how we don't need to be in the locker room anyway. I can see why you would think that, but. For that to happen, you would have to create a whole other room in every facility that was the media interview room. And all the players would have, like, at least for us, like, in the Broncos locker room, we get 45 minutes to an hour every day in the locker room. So then you're going to have to create a whole other room and have the players all go sit in there. The reason it's in the locker room is because it's convenient for the players. They don't have to go anywhere. They just sit at their lockers, and if you want to go talk to them, you can. Or, you know, you come and go. So from a convenience standpoint for the players, I think it will end up going back to the way it's always been, just because they don't want to have to like go stand somewhere and wait to see if they're going to be interviewed for 20 minutes or whatever.
I mean, the Avs have this system. They have a separate room. They change and then they go into a room.
They kind of do, but it's still really essentially the locker room, other than the Bednar presser is
in a different room.
But like Ryan was saying, especially the Avs are very, very quick about that process. They're in and out in 10 minutes. To have them go to this other room, have to sit around and mill around for many of them to not even talk to anyone, it's just very inconvenient.
It's true. I mean, when I was in, when I covered a game for the Avs compared to football and baseball, like everyone's just hanging out. We had to leave before the game even ended, and we got there 5 minutes after the game ended, and there was like two players left in there.
Yep.
And then every media member has to talk to those two players, and it limits that type of interaction. Someone said, based on the conversations of stopping the players, the meet, like they said in the middle of the ban, Jokic was with all the Serbian fans, for example.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
literally in the middle
of
all.
It's just stuff like that.
Which that was really cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, and they're traveling around. I mean, these players are doing more travel than media or fans.
Right. But it is the thing with the teams where they're not going through an airport. Sure. You know, they're going to an airstrip, getting on a plane, getting bussed. It's not like as much interaction as just normal everyday life.
Right.
And again, I understand why they would want to take the ultimate precaution here, because all it takes is one, you know. One player gets it, and then it can be the whole team. Then it can be the team they played that night, and it can spread really quickly. Obviously, that's why all the precautions are being taken everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be very weird, but hopefully it comes and goes, and we go back to normal life.
Yeah.
I mean, it is – last thing I'll say about this, teams are already taking steps in college to the Ivy League – group is now not even playing a tournament, and Yale is going straight to the actual NCAA tournament. Do you guys think we'll see that type of stuff? Someone said stop the regular season and just go straight to playoffs right now.
I mean,
hopefully we can get through this during the regular season, so then by the playoffs we're back to normalcy.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a really tough.
Well, and it's going to be crazy. The fans will have less access, but then the media won't be able to make up for that lack of access. Oof.
I don't understand why the Ivy League is canceling the entire tournament rather than doing what everyone else is thinking is going to happen, which is just playing it without fans.
Yeah, that was my question about the NHL situation.
Yeah, it was a very... San Jose went out on their own and did this as a city.
Because wasn't the thing that they're canceling events that are over 1,000 people?
Yeah.
But if you just played a hockey game with, you know, no fans,
right, exactly.
It wouldn't
be 1,000
people.
Why wouldn't you just do that? I do wonder if a little bit of this has to do with the last outbreak in the NHL of the mumps, which they're pretty confident originated from California. So I wonder if they're being a little bit overzealous on it this time to make sure nothing happens. But
I mean, as long as if they want, they can go play the game at
play it off site wherever,
Nevada,
right,
wherever,
exactly,
you know.
There's lot of steps to get to before straight up canceling games, in my opinion. And San Jose is the only city that has done this so far.
Yeah,
so.
The Bay Area has been hit a little more, so, you know.
I think California has definitely been hit.
It's such a fluid situation right now. I think that's why LeBron's comment sounded so weird, and like things can change any hour, it feels like.
Well, it's been nice weather here, thankfully, finally, although this coronavirus is telling everyone to stay inside. We finally have some nice weather outside, Ryan, the pile that you've been dreaming of to be done.
Can we get the backstory on this pile?
He is obsessed with this
pile. Can I get the backstory?
Yeah. So there's this pile of snow where they plow all the snow in my apartment parking lot. And it was like 10 feet tall. And then it melted down to, like, I don't know, like a 3-foot radius. And this was like 2 months ago. And I was like, oh my God, it's almost dead. Like, celebrating. Well, then that night, it snowed a lot. So the pile never reached absolute zero. So then I became very invested in the pile completely melting. And I said, when the pile finally melts, that means it's spring. And so yesterday...
On your birthday, on all birthday. Days.
What a day.
Isn't it supposed to snow on Friday?
Yes.
It's okay. That's not what this is about. The pile is dead. It can never come back. Like, even if there's a new pile, that's just a new pile. The old one is dead.
All right. Well, it is supposed to
that
snow
old one was
on
resilient, though.
Friday.
It was like a cockroach.
Resilient. Yeah.
And if it does snow, Denver Rubber Company is your one-stop shop for anything snow plows, but it isn't just snow plows. Denver Rubber Company is the most reliable local partner for all of your long-term projects. Since 1972, DRC has provided the highest quality of products. Be sure to call them today for any snow plow needs or custom gaskets, hoses, etc. at 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/DNVR and tell them who sent you. On to some more sad news. Rudo.
Do I have to?
Why? Like, why are all these injuries continuing to happen for the Avs? Nathan MacKinnon left the game last night with a lower body injury.
Yep.
Is there any update on him? No.
Be evaluated again today. The silver lining is everyone else that's injured is skating, but not Nathan MacKinnon.
Bad trade.
Yeah, not worth.
Lower body better than or worse than upper body, though.
That's
worse.
Yeah, worse.
Because he can't
sure.
skate yeah. in practice. I don't know what the Avs did to anger the hockey gods, but whatever it is, they got to stop doing it.
I'm being optimistic here because I saw you posted the video.
Yeah.
There's no grabbing, right. falling to the ice or anything like that. It just looks like he's kind of like,
yeah.
that feels off. And a lot of times that can be worse than it looks, but a lot of times it can be better. It's, you know, a tweak or whatever, something that.
So do we have no idea it's like day to day or week to week or anything like that?
We'll be reevaluated yet, right? Today is all we got. So we'll know more tomorrow probably. I tend to agree with Ryan. Nothing confirmed, but it doesn't seem extremely serious. He was able to skate off over on his own power. This was kind of a game where it's like, okay, let's make sure we don't hurt MacKinnon more if he's just tweaked something. You don't want to run him back out there in a game that, let's face it, the Avs were pretty brutal in LA. It was not a good game for them.
What is it with that team?
Yeah, Jonathan Quick just has their number. I don't know. They just can't score on that dude.
Was it more on the defense or more on Francois?
Oh, Francois played great. I think he really gave the Avs a chance to win that game, and the Avs had 7 shots on goal halfway through the game. You just can't. That's not enough offense. You're not going to win any games playing like that. So it's tough. The lineup they're icing is essentially half of an AHL team. You lose your best scorer halfway through the game as well. I mean, you just take that loss and move on, basically.
Before this game, or do you have something?
Oh, I just want to say, playing the Kings reminded me of the mic'd up thing they did from the Stadium Series.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. My favorite, well, there's two parts. The one that Allie tweeted where Landy is telling one of the guys on the Kings, like, Makar's winning a Norris Trophy in the next 3 years. My other favorite part, though, is they had Drew Doughty on the bench.
Yeah.
And he just looks at the guy next to him and he goes, how do they have so many, like, pretty good players. It was like the ultimate feather in the cap for Joe Sakic. He's like, how are they so good top to bottom?
How are they that deep?
Well, they need to use every inch of it. So it's pretty brutal right now. On the DNVR Avs podcast, we talked about Martin Kaut getting sent back down because they wanted to save that contract and get an extra year out of him on his rookie deal. Nope. They're going to have to play him now.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. They can't escape the injury bug, and hopefully MacKinnon isn't too serious. Hopefully he's back for the playoffs. That's the silver lining there is everyone looks to be like they'll be healthy for the playoffs. So just get through the regular season at this point.
Knock on wood. That's,
I don't want any regular season cancellations. I need it as long as possible so the Avs can get healthy here.
Maybe they could take like a three-week break from playing and then resume the regular
season. Now get fully healthy
for a postponement.
The Avs tend to be a little bit rusty coming off of long breaks. So we'll leave it at that.
Well, before this game where MacKinnon got hurt, that top line of Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Vladislav Namestnikov was incredible two nights ago. They combined for 8 total points, 3 of the Avs' 4 goals.
It feels like the Avs' luck that the new top line finally figures it out, finally puts it all together, and is the line that everyone wants them to be, and then immediately someone gets hurt on it.
But I guess the silver lining is that Landeskog definitely seems to have been stepping up. He's been playing consistently well, and obviously no one can replace MacKinnon, but having your captain start getting in that groove is huge.
Second star of the week in the NHL this week. He looks like the offensive player that he was last season, finally. It's taken a long time for him to find that groove this season, and obviously now more than ever the Avs need it. So
yeah, that's huge.
Very important for him to continue doing that. Evan actually talked about this quite a bit, I'm sure Andre can confirm this, but as a father, he was like, the first 3 months with that baby are the toughest. And I think Landy's kid is 5 or 6 months old now. So
especially because she was born when Landy was hurt.
Yeah.
So like he was able to spend that time and help and do all these things. And then he started playing. He seems like the guy that he would want to keep helping. But while you're playing and waking up and changing diapers at 4 a.m.
Let's go to dad correspondent, Andre Simone.
I'm pretty sure Landy has more resources than that. color me skeptical that he's waking up at 4 a.m. for diaper changes.
I mean, there are some numbers to back this up, though. He was a significantly better player on the road after having that kid.
I mean, I believe in it.
So
even sleep.
Better sleep. Yeah.
You may not get up and change the diaper, but you still may wake up.
Life's a little more stress-free when you're away from the youngster.
No sympathy from you.
I just said it'd be more. I mean, I might be a captain in the NHL too. You know, if I if I didn't have all the responsibilities on my plate as well.
Oh, really?
That's
just
right.
Just the responsibilities is what's stopping from being a captain on an
That's
NHL
right.
team.
Having a kid at 30 is what did it for me. I was
close.
On my way.
You were so close.
Oh, I know.
You're saying you have no sympathy for a guy who is extremely good looking, is a millionaire, and is playing his favorite game as his job.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Your comment right there just reminded me of Drew Kreisman's tweet of saying he was in love with J-Lo since being a kid, and he's always wanted to be a professional baseball player, and that A-Rod just stole his life.
Also kind of a known cheater, though, so I think kind of anti-Drew's brand, I'm just going to say. I'm just a little anti-Drew's brand. I would have thought he was more ethical than that, but hey, that's okay.
All right, someone said, did Kaut get sent down again today? I thought I saw something like that somewhere.
It's possible. I haven't checked the waiver wire, or well, it wouldn't even be the waiver wire, it'd be the AHL transaction wire. He was initially called up to be injured reserve emergency for Namestnikov, and Namestnikov ended up playing, so that's why he didn't play in the game against LA, because he legally could not. But with MacKinnon's injury, it's possible they want to call up someone else. MacKinnon is a center, Kaut is not, but he would be right there to play.
Do you do like Shane Bowers for another 8 days and like drag
this on? I would do Shane Bowers. Really doubt the Avs would do that. It would likely be Megna or Tynan as the call up.
Tiny.
Then we had feels like the injury from Mayonnaise Chicken. Feels like the injury bug is going to complicate things for the expansion draft.
No.
Nice. Nice shutdown.
Just say it to his face.
Yeah.
Why is everyone so fascinated and obsessed with the expansion draft?
I just need everyone to go read AJ's Twitter handle currently. That will explain all of your issues.
Does his bio say, like, don't ask me about the expansion draft or something?
His name is Martin Kaut is not eligible for the expansion draft.
Quote, Martin Kaut isn't expansion draft eligible.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
I didn't even know the NHL
expanding. I mean, even going back to last playoffs,
right?
We were talking about the expansion draft, which happens in 2021.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's because it's something that hasn't happened since when?
Well, the Golden Knights.
Three years ago it happened.
But still, it's not something that happens like super often.
It was 2001 before that.
It's a fun thing to talk about.
It is fun, but it's like everyone is so paranoid. Like, they're like, oh, God, if so-and-so scores a goal tonight, is he going to go in the expansion draft?
It's like a fun game to play, though. What, you know, eight players would you keep at all costs?
It does feel like... I feel like I could name it on the would-you-rather type of game. Like, all right, you only get to keep eight players. Who are they? But they haven't even formalized the rules for that draft yet.
The expectation is they'll be the exact same as they were for Vegas, which is seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goaltender get protected. You can also do eight skaters if you want, but don't do that. That's bad. It's very straightforward for the most part for the Avs. MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, Kadri, Burakovsky, and then the last two forwards, you get into a little bit of question mark. Donskoy, Compher, who knows who the Avs pick up this offseason.
TJ Compher?
TJ.
I was going to say, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
The NBC Sportsnet broadcast could not, with multiple players really struggled, but kept... Called JT Compher the entire game TJ Compher.
That was a struggle. I talked about that one, too, and it's like...
They mess up, like, broadcasts, like, that national broadcast mess up Jokic's name all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you finish, though, about the defenseman.
It's just... Oh, the defenseman's the easy part. Yeah. Gerard McCarr, and then EJ has a no-move clause, so they have to protect him unless he waives it. If he does, then it gets more interesting, but we'll cross that bridge when the Avs get there is basically where that's at.
We had Nick Geyer say, yo, congrats, everyone. Glad to see Andre in front of the camera. Can't wait for Friday. Yo, Harrison, you got to push for a bar hoop. Trust me, we're all pushing to have a hoop in the bar. But we need some time, you know? It's
AJ,
just starting.
Drew and I teamed up to get our little video game corner, so.
Yeah. Pop a shot would be sweet, too.
So much fun.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. On Friday, we will have some fun games. They're miniature, but they're still fun. So we can't wait to see you there, Nick. Well, the Avs take on the Avs. I lost my little sheet.
Rangers, right?
Yeah, they play the Rangers.
They play the Rangers, yes.
What are a few things you're hoping to see there with all these injuries?
No one else get hurt is mostly what I'm hoping for.
Hoping to see the Avs able to field the team.
I'd honestly, just get through the week. As I said, everyone but MacKinnon is skating, so guys are getting close. The expectation was mid-March, probably the back half of this homestand they have coming up. Just get there.
Yep.
That's... The wins and losses, obviously, you'd love to see the Avs pick up a couple and try and catch the Blues, but...
You're not thinking it's going to happen?
If they split these next two games, the Rangers and Vancouver at home, that's fine.
Yeah.
They're doing okay. Again, they're essentially icing half of an AHL lineup at this point. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like the best guys. I mean, their top defender and
basically
their entire top six.
Two-thirds of their top six, their top six from the start of the season. They're missing their best defenseman. They're missing arguably their starting goaltender. So their best player at every position is out, and then additional depth players.
That's crazy.
You can't be more hurt than this, essentially.
They're out like an all-star team.
Right.
The central all-star team is missing on this
pretty
team.
Much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's crazy.
I looked it up during the game. Landy is now their leading scorer with 42 points.
Oh, yeah, you tweeted this. And then?
And then Sam Girard with 34.
What?
And this is – next game will be game 70 of the season.
This is like 48-point season type of statistics.
If the Avs played like this the whole year, you're at 48-point season level.
It's crazy. The Avs take on the Canucks on Friday. It is at home, but Rudo will be at our grand bar opening for the whole night.
I will be there for the entire game. Please, someone come hang out. We need a bunch of Avs fans, so I'm not sitting off in the corner of a Nuggets watch party. So please come.
I'll make sure he gets home safe.
Wait, you'll just use the lid.
I have a feeling there will be a couple Avs fans there.
So then
a small feeling.
AJ and Evan are going to be there. It starts at 5 or 5:30. Is it 5:30 officially?
5:30 is the official entering time.
Entering the bar.
Ribbon cutting ceremony.
Mm.
The game is until 7 o'clock, so come grab a beer, maybe some food before you head over to the Pepsi Center. Talk to AJ, Evan, and Rudo. And if you're not going to the game, then totally hang by.
And I highly recommend getting there early.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, email will be sent out, so be sure RSVP, you get on that RSVP list because we do not know what to expect, frankly.
And I talked about this on the Avs podcast as well, but I think it's super awesome that we have this place now because when the podcast turns off, I don't just stop talking about hockey.
Yeah.
It's all day, every day. This is what I do. So if you want to talk hockey, we will be at this bar. If you want to talk Nuggets, we will be at this bar and just come down and chat us up. Like, it's the awesome thing about it.
Exactly.
The second that we get off this podcast, we're going to go from this room into the next room and start talking about Denver sports.
Which is one of the reasons why we started this podcast in the first place, because we just all, when we hang out, we talk about all the sports and how they relate to each other and all that stuff. So it's going to be fun. We're having someone, Ryan M. said, just popping in to say what's up. Love y'all and congrats on the bar.
What up?
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you. And then Nick Geyer said, I'll be there, Rudo. So you got one.
We got one.
I'm sure there'll be some.
Yeah.
I think
the Avs fans usually come through.
More
oh,
usually.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, we can actually win at a watch party. Not throwing any shade or anything. The
wow.
Avs have won at a watch party. So.
I think the Nuggets are 2-1 at watch parties this year.
Rudo, come on.
2-1.
You got to know your stats before you throw the shade out.
They were throwing heat, saying they're going to run our watch party out of Blake Street. And,
I think they lost.
I think they set the record for regular season attendance.
And ours was still rowdier. So,
well, hockey fans are going to be hockey fans.
Wow.
All right, well, we are going to be pretty much living at this bar, drinking beer and having bar food all day. So I think our whole staff is going to have to check out Green Mountain Dental Group just to make sure our teeth are staying nice and beautiful as always. And they're giving away a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. That's right, you simply just got to take care of your teeth, and Green Mountain Dental Group is going to give you a free Sonicare toothbrush. Check them out today online or call them at 303-988-0711 to schedule your appointment today. Drew is in Scottsdale, and Patrick is teaching class right now. So
yes.
The Rockies are playing spring training. I don't really know how much about it. Andre,
season hangs in the balance.
You're my guy for this stuff.
Spring training is happening.
Well,
spring training's happening. The Rockies have won and lost some games.
They beat the Indians yesterday.
Yep, there we go.
On, I mean, Kyle Freeland, 4 Ks in 3 innings. So.
He was talking about how I saw quotes come out from Drew that he was talking about how confident he's feeling, how much better he feels on the mound, which would be huge for this Rockies team.
Love it.
Then Estevez has 3 Ks in 1 inning of clean relief pitching. So nice to see. I mean, you know, it's the ups and downs of this time, but I know Drew's in mid-season form. He's pumping out like game recaps. He's got some great quote pieces, podcasts churning out regularly. So the Rockies content has been on fire.
I feel like Drew had to wait so long for like to really step into the new DNVR Rockies role.
Yeah,
since, like,
he was in the offseason.
He was
basically
in the offseason when we rebranded and when we went through everything. So I feel like he's just been so antsy, ready to give you guys all of this awesome content.
Yeah, he's been killing it.
As the ever the downer on this podcast, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Every pitcher feels confident in Arizona. You get them back to Mile High, and we'll see.
Are you coursing this podcast right now?
Is it hard to pitch at Coors Field? I've never heard of this.
Imagine that.
The door is right there.
It's just harder to pitch here. Breaking balls just don't break as much. I'm not saying you can't do it. Plenty of pitchers do. But
Kyle Freeland was born for this.
I think this is something that every homegrown Rockies pitcher goes through. Is they go in, their first year, nobody has a book on them. They do well. Their second year, they get blown up quite a bit and have to reimagine themselves, get themselves into a realistic mindset of pitching at Coors Field and that their ERA is just going to be up near four. And then they get their confidence back. And then they understand how to pitch as a Rocky, and it all comes together. We saw it last year with John Gray. Figured it out again. It's just kind of part of the deal with the Rockies. So
I was going to try to quote Bane there, but I forgot what the exact quote
you
was.
You were born in the Rockies.
Yeah. We've got to have faith in Kyle Freeland, because if Kyle Freeland doesn't come through, I feel like this season could go off.
Ubaldo could be a starting pitcher if he does.
Nobody would love the Ubaldo redemption tour more than I would.
Fair.
I would be all over that. That's like best case scenario for the Rocky season. Ubaldo resurgence.
I hope so.
All right, so we got
storyline. I'm always thinking about the storyline.
Hey, that's why you're great at what you do, Harrison.
Someone said, "Proud of you guys and gals. We appreciate you. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Love you.
Yep."
Sack 31584. And then we've got great someone name. Saying Bud Black says he might make Dahl hit leadoff. Thoughts on that? I'm intrigued by it for sure.
I mean, he's got the perfect profile for it. He's overqualified to hit leadoff, but I mean, Blackman was that at was times a, yeah. as well. Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
I like Dahl in the leadoff spot.
Can't go wrong with it. That.
Yeah.
And then we got, what about bachelor watch parties, Ryan Harrison?
Oh, that's happening.
Yeah. I mean,
oh really?
I think we should just settle this on the pod right now. Can we do a bachelor pod this summer?
I think it would be fun.
I'm totally down for it.
You know, I was on the DNVR Buffs podcast on Friday, and we had a little bachelor segment. And you can ask Ryan or Henry. I kind of went off on good old Pete.
I want the takes.
Allie brought the heat.
I want the takes.
It was.
I was trying to give all the men that listened to that podcast some relationship advice is to not be like Peter.
Yeah, sound advice.
But
I'm down for the batch pod.
Let's do it.
Let us know if you summer. Guys, some of Stay you, tuned. I know some of you hate it, but then that means Ryan will stop talking about it on his Broncos podcast.
Sure
so
doesn't.
You should vote for yes. Ooh, oh, boy. Poor Mace. And then there isn't much Broncos news going on, but Buffs basketball, they are headed to the tournament. They have a game on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan doesn't want to talk about this
some
one.
Great Buffs basketball. Yeah, please tell us. How have things been going lately?
Andre, here's the thing I don't about, need your sass.
Here's the thing about the Buffs. If they win on Wednesday, I'm saying like they're winning the national championship. If they lose, nice. I'm nice. Saying they might never win a game again. Those are the two paths.
You're great extremes.
Yes. Sounds like a lot's riding on this first game.
But can you explain, Ryan, to there's a lot of people who think that the Buffs are a bubble team for the tournament. Can you just kind of clear that up?
I don't have time for those people.
Okay.
I've already
come on.
There's absolutely nothing about the Buffs that is a bubble team. I don't know how to explain this in any more.
They're locked into a between 5 and 7 seed?
No. If they lose in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament, they will probably drop into the 8-9 game,
okay.
Which is not where you want to be. Because, of course, after that, you got to play the 1 seed. But they can probably play themselves up to a 5, I guess. Maybe higher if they won the whole thing. But just a couple wins will probably, in my opinion, lock them in that 7 area.
Okay.
So maybe one win probably makes them safe in that area, but they're not on the bubble. Like when a couple years back, the committee decided to count every game the same, whether it happened the first game of the season for the Buffs that was in Shanghai, I think, or in Vegas in the tournament. They say all games count the same, and because of that, that's why you really don't have to worry about this team. Yes, they are reeling right now, and if they lose in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament and then go get an 8 seed, there's really no hope for this thing to go anywhere.
Right.
But they are going to be in the tournament. They locked in there. I just think people aren't used to seeing a team that locks in their seed or locks in their trip to the tournament 3 weeks before the end of the season. And that's really what the Buffs did. They built an incredible resume, and now they're reeling. And that's why I say like they just got to win one, because they are very clearly in a slump. They aren't confident. They just don't feel right. They did win their last game. They were just robbed by the referees. So I think
that was probably the worst call I've ever seen in my life with a game on the line. We put a video on it.
Not as bad as taking away Sabatino's Chen 3.
There have been a couple.
Sabatino's Chen 3. Yeah. But they got robbed. I think they got their confidence back a little bit in that game. They played better than they have. They were still on the road. We know it's really hard to win on the road. I think if they just get one, then the path is pretty nice for them. And they go play Arizona State, who they've beat twice this year. UCLA was the 2 seed on that side of the bracket. So even if you play them, you feel like you have a chance, even though they swept the Buffs on the other side.
Well, with the Pac-12 this year, you have a chance no matter what.
Right.
It's wide open.
And they got put on in a really good place on the bracket for, you know, where they're at. So all their games are going to be played at 9:30 unless they make the championship, which is pretty crazy. But they have a nice little path if they can just get the monkey off their back against Washington.
So if they're still in the tournament on Friday, we'll have the Nuggets game. And then after those are done, we'll have the Buffs on.
Jeez.
Good night to open a bar, huh?
It's a good, busy Friday night. Someone said, any chance for WWE watch parties? WrestleMania, maybe? That's a Drew Kreisman question.
I think
this company
question.
Is more AEW squad. I'm not going to lie.
I don't even know what
I
that
don't know.
Means.
Wait, I'm
going to
need an explainer on
I
that.
I thought, wait, there's another type of league. I'm
the
confused.
Differences between WWE and AEW.
I'm not qualified enough. That's a Drew question for
if
sure.
If only Drew is here. Crazy, just talking about the coronavirus and stuff, text I got from my little brother who goes to CU is they're expecting CU to be classes to be canceled by the end of the day, like campus to be closed. They're already telling kids that they probably won't be back at CU after spring break and to stay at home with family.
Especially
really?
If you're going to some grimy place for spring break.
Yeah.
As most right? college students do.
Stay away. But just pretty crazy. But let's move to our favorite part of the podcast.
Who did the most and who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
Well, pretty obvious. Avs won the week. It was for winning 7 straight games and
not too hard to win.
Pretty
that
hard
one.
To compete
yeah.
on
Is
that
there
one.
A post winning the week curse. It feels like every time we're like, yeah, the Avs won the week, and now the
Didn't
world's on fire.
They just win it 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely did.
But it seems like at least half of the time, the team that wins the week goes on to have a bad week.
Mm-hmm. There's a bit
Why
of a bounce,
are you putting that on
back.
This? Then people are going to vote against the teams that they want to win.
That's okay.
No.
That's fine. We need a little bit of a mix-up, I think.
Yeah.
I was told not to read some of your comments, so we're just going to move into who won the week now.
Wow.
Man.
So, you know, you guys don't like
the
my...
The higher-ups coming down hard on Allie, I guess.
You guys don't like listen, when I play the song too loud, when I cut it early, when I play the buzzer. I mean, I work with some very picky people here.
Hopefully our producer doesn't cut all this out in post. Oh, boy.
Yeah, Andre?
Well, who knows?
All right. Well, Harrison, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Wow. I don't get my 30 seconds. I
oh,
see
all right. All right. Let's go. Go.
I didn't even really have anything to talk about.
Just wanted to be sassy towards me.
Shout out to the Colorado Eagles. I think I've done this before, but they are quietly having a very strong season in the AHL. They're poised to not only make the playoffs, but probably have home ice for the first round, or maybe have home ice for the first round, and could make the second round of the AHL playoffs for the first time in over a decade for a team tied to the Avs. So the team's development system is coming along
time.
A little
bit. Well, that was a good wow. good Go use
Birds.
Of your 30
what
seconds.
What is having a development
yeah,
team?
Yeah, imagine
like.
Having a G League team.
Yeah.
All right, Harrison, we'll go with you. Why did the Nuggets right. win the week?
Nuggets won the week because Gary Harris, their best perimeter defender, at least in my mind, and a guy who in the past has been their second or third most valuable player going back to the very beginning of last season and the year before that. He's back, shooting above 40% from three since February 1st, above 50% over the last couple of weeks. Just the fact that defenses have to guard him brings a whole new dynamic to Denver's offense, and he is going to be, I think, really important in the playoffs.
Wow. You finished with 29 seconds.
29.93 seconds.
There we go. I didn't know how to say
I wrote that out and timed it. And
there
exactly
you go.
That.
Way to go. All right, Rudo. I
was prepared.
Why do the Avs win the week? No. You know, you're being so sassy to me, I was going to go to you first, but I decided to give you a break.
As I always tell my ladies, all men are con men, so I can find something really quick. Don't
Andre,
you
Andre, man.
Oh, Ooh. God.
I'm just saying.
All right, Rudo, go.
Well, the Avs definitely did not win the week. But I do believe Martin Kaut did. He may not burn his year of his contract. He may not play another game in the NHL this season, but he will be an NHL regular next year. Based on the 8 games he got, he absolutely proved to just about everyone that he is ready for the big show. And, yeah, he's going to be an NHLer. He looks like an NHLer today.
Time.
Yeah.
With 28 seconds.
Wow. We're on point today.
You guys are. All right. Ryan, go.
I think the poll should just be these two. I don't think there's really any other candidates. But I will say that I think that the DNVR family won the week. We now have.
You took Andre.
I tried to make eye contact with Dre so that he would know that I was going to do this. But
he was supposed to know that through eye contact.
Well, like, I was like, do you have something? I don't know. Anyways,
man, you guys are in sync.
I think the family that in the community that we built now has a physical home, which is something that we've never had before. And I think it's going to be really cool to know that we are able to all congregate together and cheers and talk Denver sports and listen to games with the sound on and just all of that stuff. I think it's really cool. I don't want to put this in the poll because I feel like it's an easy win, but I do feel that that's who won the week.
Amen.
I agree. Yeah. That's why I let you keep talking.
That should
Thanks.
Win.
We all won the week. Everybody. Yeah. We all did.
Us Denver sports fans won the week. Woo. Andre, anything?
Maybe more than the company itself, my man Ryan Konigsberg won the week. His birthday.
Oh, God.
And we launched the bar. As you said, you got a bar for your birthday. What's better than that?
And the pile.
And the snow pile. I mean, wow. Wow.
Down goes the snow pile.
Yeah.
And Andre great. Just won the week because he just got a raise. Congrats.
There we go.
You guys are getting paid?
Rude is like, what?
Yeah, yours is right there.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we have. Oh, we had some comments on the podcast post real quick. Would Space Jam 2 become Oscar worthy if Jokic was in it?
I think it might make it the opposite. Might be Raz worthy or something.
Yeah, nah. I mean, Space Jam 2, I can already tell you, he's probably going to suck. So,
what do you think of Jokic as an actor, though? How do you
he's
think
actually,
he
wasn't a commercial in Serbia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's in a few Western Union commercials.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's good.
How do you say Space Jam in Serbian?
I'll ask him.
He'd be great in a silent movie, I think.
No, he has a great
facial
dry sense
expressions,
of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
hilarious.
Stand up?
Ooh.
Well, jokes with the Joker, RIP.
Oh.
He flourished in that.
And then Nick Geyer just commented on here, man, just heard the news about the DNVR bar and I'm blown away. I hope you all are on cloud 9 because that's where you deserve to be. Can't wait till Friday. This week is going to feel like a long one. We appreciate all your support, Nick. So thanks for that. We hope to see you all on Friday at the grand opening of the DNVR bar. You can go on to the DNVR.com to find out more information. Ryan wrote an article about kind of what's going on there, and we'll have an Eventbrite going out, so just be sure to RSVP on that. And who knows, you might be watching the Denver Sports Podcast live from the bar next week. So we'll see you guys then. Bye.